You can imagine how I was feeling by this time, for Nobu was a man who could hurl his words like stones. It wasn't just the words themselves or their meaning, but the way he said them. At first, I'd been determined not to cry, regardless of what he said, but soon it occurred to me that crying might be the very thing Nobu wanted of me, and it felt so easy, like letting a piece of paper slip from my fingers. Every tear that slid down my cheeks, I cried for a different reason. There seemed so much to mourn. I cried for Nobu and for myself. I cried at wondering what would become of us all. I even cried for General Tottori and for Corinne, who had grown so gray and hollow from life in the factory. And then I did what Nobu demanded of me. I moved away from the table to make room, and I bowed low to the floor. "Forgive me for my foolishness," I said.
"Oh, get up off the mats. I'm satisfied if you tell me you won't make the same mistake again."
"I will not."
"Every moment you spent with that man was wasted. That's just what I told you would happen, isn't it? Perhaps you've learned enough by now to follow your destiny in the future."
"I will follow my destiny, Nobu-san. There's nothing more I want from life."
"I'm pleased to hear that. And where does your destiny lead you?"
"To the man who runs Iwamura Electric," I said. Of course, I was thinking of the chairman.
"So it does," Nobu said. "Now let us drink our beers together."
I wet my lips, for I was far too confused and upset to be thirsty. Afterward, Nobu told me about the nest he'd set aside. It was the home of his good friend, Arashino Isamu, the kimono maker. I don't know if you remember him, but he was the guest of honor at the party on the Baron's estate years earlier, at which Nobu and Dr. Crab were present. Mr. Arashino's home, which was also his workshop, was on the banks of the Kamo River Shallows, about 5 kilometers upstream from Gion. Until a few years earlier, he and his wife and daughter had made kimono in the lovely Yuzen style for which he was famous. Lately, however, all the kimono makers had been put to work sewing parachutes, for they were accustomed to working with silk, after all. "It was a job I could learn quickly," said Nobu, "and the Arashino family was very willing to have me." Nobu himself would make the necessary arrangements with the authorities. He wrote the address of Mr. Arashino's home on a piece of paper and gave it to me. I told Nobu a number of times how grateful I was. Each time I told him, he looked more pleased with himself. Just as I was about to suggest that we take a walk together in the newly fallen snow, he glanced at his watch and drained the last sip of his beer.
"Sayuri," he said to me, "I don't know when we will see each other again, or what the world will be like when we do. We may both have seen many horrible things, but I will think of you every time I need to be reminded that there is beauty and goodness in the world."
"Nobu-san, perhaps you ought to have been a poet."
"You know perfectly well there's nothing poetic about me."
"Do your enchanting words mean you're about to leave? I was hoping we might take a stroll together."
"It's much too cold, but you may see me to the door, and we'll say goodbye there."
This book is continued on Disc 13.